Be'ezet Shem Mizbo, we begin paragraph V, the fourth chapter in the Rambam Masechas Genevin, the laws of theft, in the Sefer Nezikin, in the book of damages. Where in this paragraph, we segue from that of an actual thief to someone who actually is a guardian who actually claims that it was stolen. As Rambam gives halacha alf regarding this claim of theft regarding a deposit or by a found object. So hatoyin, if there's someone who's watching for free, it's called a shem echinim, who the object was deposited by him, and he claims she nignav may base a hapakotin, that the deposit was stolen from his house. Im nishba, if he swears that it was stolen, va'achach bo edim sheshakaton, and then witnesses come along and claim that he's lying, and that v'shabekod netzhazetz loy, that actually this deposit is still by him, and it wasn't stolen from him. Harizim misham tashlumi kefil, he has to pay this liability we spoke about in the previous parakim of paying the penalty of double. Shadehu atz mehaganim, he himself is that thief. The moment he swore falsely, he was taking it for himself, and now he's caught. If he slaughtered it or sold it after he swore, he has to ask to pay the penalty of 4 or 5 times the amount, because it's like he stole most regarding the laws of Dal Vehe. Now he does not bring a guilt offering based on the testimony of the witnesses regarding his oath, which is that a person is liable for carbon asham for swearing falsely, only if he admits on his own. As the Torah says, v'zvadu es chatasim. In this case, where it's through the witnesses, he's not going to be chayav karban ashem, and v'ein mei v'chaymish does not bring the penalty of a fifth, where it says, v'chimisha es l'yaseh, but it was only again when he admits on his own after he swore falsely. She'ein achaymish mishtamim ha'kefal, because the penalty of an additional fifth is not paid at the same time when there's kefal. Because it says, v'shilam oise b'roishe v'chamishisa, b'roishe means the principal, and then you'll pay the chamishisa. But when there's also kefal, then there's not going to be a penalty of the fifth. V'mbo edim k'id m'shisha, but now if witnesses came before he swore falsely, then in m'shalom elakirim b'vad, then he's only going to pay for the principal itself, because the taina of that it was stolen is only liability for kefal if he swore falsely, the pasuk says, v'nikr balabais elo lakim, which means that he came to swear falsely, and then witnesses came, then he's going to be liable for this tainas ganav to be chayv kefal and dal dehei. Halacha beis. But midvamrum, when did we say this? That if he claims that it was stolen from him, this shomer, that he's going to have to pay kefal, ishe nishba kuyin shesholach yad b'pikadon, as if he swore before he had stretched out his, for the b'kadon, his yad, meaning, shalich his yad means to say that he utilized the object. If he swore before he had utilized it, that swearing is the liability. And then he's going to be chayiv. But if, let's say, he used it, he misappropriated, he used it for himself, and he claimed that it was stolen, vinish when he swore void him and witnesses came, actually put him in the kefal, he's going to be exempt from the penalty of kefal. Because shekiv in sheshalach yod, the moment he started using it, nischayiv, but he became liable in all situations, even the oinus, whatever's beyond his control, for shovig nim avedom, because he wasn't allowed to do that as a shomer chinam. The kano, and therefore he acquired at that point for the liability of all the payments, and since the claiming of being stolen would not exempt him from liability, because he's chayv v'gneva veda, even though shemachim is generally exempt, but now he's like a shoyl in regards to liability of Einzin, so therefore, if it's not an exempting him, it's not a claim that's trying to steal it, because you're actually liable if it got stolen, so that would actually incriminate him, and therefore he's not going to be chayv for the time of gneva to be chayv v'keva. It's not a gimel. Same thing applies if, let's say, Shem Echinim claims that the deposit, not like in the previous halacha that it was stolen, but that it was lost. And he's trying to get himself off the hook like that, because the Shem Echinim, someone's watching for free, is not liable if something is stolen or lost from him. V'nishma, they swear to the fact, yeah, it got lost. But then he makes a different claim. You know, he claims it was stolen, and he swears to that effect. And then witnesses come and say, what are you talking about? It's by you. Patan the kevel exempt from kevel. Why? Because the deposit had already been removed from the domain of the owners from the first oath that he took. Meaning he first swore that it was lost. Now for that claim, for that oath itself, he's not chayiv kefal, even if witnesses come. Because the halacha of being liable for kefal is only regarding toin tainas ganav, not every toin tainas of it. So although either one of them is going to get him off the hook, claiming that it was stolen is where the liability of kefal is, like a galim itself, but not when you're claiming that it's lost. And since already, although you ended up swearing falsely that it was stolen, and that witnesses came in and refuted, but since from the first oath you already got yourself off the hook from the tainus of it, it's not going to be a new liability from toin tainus galim. Look at doubt. Hatoin tainus galim be'aveda. Let's say, not regarding a shomer, let's say someone found a lost object, which he has to return to the owner. And now he's claiming that, yes, I found the lost object, but it got stolen from me. V'nishmini swears to that effect. And then when this come along and they testify, Shaved b'shusay, the lost object is in his domain. B'shekertan, he's claiming a false claim. So m'sham t'shulmi kefil. So just like the one who steals, here also he's claiming that it was stolen from him. He has to pay kefil. Shenema, because it says in the pasuk in Shemais, al kol avedom, for all the lost objects, it says over the Yisham Shneim L'Re'eu, he has to pay double, which is that even for a lost object, has the same halacha. Now, however, this Tainus Ganav has to be Bush Yitin Shenignava Ballistin Bezuin. He has to be claiming that it was stolen from him by armed bandits, where that would be a situation of, although it's Geneva on one hand, but at the same time, honest, it's something beyond his control that he could not have held that back. Upater, with that claim, the one who's watching the Aveda would be exempt from paying. Because Avalim Tonch and Ignava Balayan, if he claims a regular Geneva that wasn't beyond his control, just something was stolen, Patim Na Kefal, he actually would be exempt from Kefal by claiming that it was stolen. Meaning, in such a case, he's exempt from Kefal. Because actually, interestingly, different than the Shem Echinim, someone who's watching the lost object, he actually has to pay Al Pitanasi, he has to pay if he claims it was stolen. Why? Because actually, someone's watching lost object, he's like someone who's watching for pay, even though he's not really getting paid, and hence he'd be chayv geneva veda. So when he's claiming that it's stolen, you're actually incriminating yourself, actually being chayv. So that's not getting you off the hook. So therefore, there's no liability of trying to steal something to be chayv for kefil. Like we can explain in Hilchas Gezeil Vaveda Perigim Halacha Yud, why it's considered like a Shemesacha. But since that is the case, the only way you could try to get yourself off the hook by claiming that it was stolen to be Chayiv for the Toin Tanz Ganim is an Oinus type of Geneva, which is listed Mezuin. Only then will he be Chayiv in the liability of Kevil by the Shemir Aveda, who's claiming that it was stolen from him. Halacha Hey. Hatoin Tanz Ganim Bipikodoin Benishba. So again, back to the original case. Someone is watching someone's object. And he claims it was stolen from him, and he swears. Then witnesses come along and say, what are you talking about? It's in your property. Okay. Now, he goes to a different court. The same court wouldn't allow him to swear, because they already know he's a liar. He goes to a different court, and again he claims that it was stolen, and he swears to that effect. And then witnesses come to that court, and they say, what are you talking about? It's in his property. Even if this repeats itself 100 times, he's going to be liable for kevel. Every single claim that he's making is another stealing that he's chayav for. So if Nishba Chamesh Pamim, let's say he swore falsely in five different courts five times, Nimza B'Sham Shisha comes out, he has liable for six payments. I can't shift because it's like the deposit, or the principal which is deposited by him, which he has to obviously give back. And B'Chamisha B'Karen, five times the principal, Mishum Chamisha Kefela, Shal Chamesh Shavuos, because of the five liabilities of kevel for the five oaths that he swore falsely in Toin Tainz Gan, and in all these different courts. Allah above continues regarding the liabilities of the double payments for the false claims. Toin tanis ganav. So if someone makes a claim that the deposit that he was watching was stolen, v'nishmini swears to that effect. V'chazav v'ta'im. And then he makes a claim on that deposit, a tainis aveda, that it was actually lost from him. V'nishmini swears to that effect. Avo edim shalei nignam, and then witnesses come along and say, they testify that it was not stolen from him. V'hoiduhu shalei avad. And he, what does he admit to? They testify that it wasn't stolen, and he admits to the fact that it wasn't lost from him, which was his second claim. So what comes out is as follows. Since he's going to be paying the double amount penalty because of the witness's testimony regarding his falsely swearing that it was stolen, and they come and they testify not like him, he has to pay kevel. So the henceforth, he's not going to pay the penalty of the fifth for the second oath, which is generally the halacha when you swear falsely, where he was swearing falsely that was lost. Although he on his own admits, now generally the halacha is that if you swear falsely by deposit and you admit you pay a fifth, he's going to be exempt. Why? Because the monies, this original monies, which is making him liable for the kevel, exempts him from the chemish, you cannot be liable for both, and hence he's going to be pater through the kevel from paying the chemish for his false oath of the claiming that it was lost. Halacha Zayin. Let's say someone gives over his ox to two people to watch. The Ta'anu Tainas Ganav Nisbo, and both of them claim, the joint guardians, that it was stolen from them, and they swear to that effect. Then, subsequently, V'hoida Achaz Men, one of them admits, not true, wasn't stolen from us. V'sheinu Bo'ol Av Edim, and regarding the second one who doesn't admit, there's witnesses who come and testify on him. So Shnei Mishal Mesekerim, both of them have to pay the principal, because of that's obviously that they owe, it wasn't stolen from them. But from the Kivul, they're exempt. Which, this is actually a question in the Gemara. Do we say this, that the Torah was particular, that as we said in the previous halacha, you're not going to pay kefil and chomesh from the same monies? Is that by one, this specific person? And since in this situation there's two different people, one person could pay the kefil for the eden that came in them, and the second person who admitted on his own will pay the chomesh? Or the intention of the Torah was that on one monies, you're not going to pay kefil and chomesh. And therefore, in this halacha, he'll be exempt from the kefil, because since the first one's already liable for the chomesh, because he admits, so maybe the other person's not going to be chayav in the kefil. And this question is not resolved, and therefore, out of doubt, you cannot collect the kefil. Now, but vim tavas bahal b'kodnas a kefil. Let's say the owner of the deposit grabs the kefil from the defendant, imitimiyad, you don't take it away from him, because again, the doubt will then go either way, whoever's the muchzik and the money at that moment. Now, v'zeshu misham chemish, this first person that pays, or the girsa could even be v'zesha hoida, misham chemish, when he admits, that was before the witnesses came, is already liable for the fifth den, so he'll be chayav the chaymish kashar nishbam shvoyis abakud and shoyd matzmon, like all others who swear falsely regarding the deposit, and they admit on their own, they were the first one who admitted. At that point, there was no kevliya. He's be chayav for the chaymish. Halacha ches continues regarding doubts regarding the admitting to the owner and regarding the liability of kevul. So bala bekudin should tava es hashemer. If the owner of the deposit comes to claim by the guardian to give him back his deposit. And he swears, oi, what do you want from me? It was stolen from me. And he's exempt from paying because he's a shemichim, he's watching for free. Then actually they recognize, they figure out who is the thief. The Tava Hashem is a galim. So the guardian goes to the thief to claim from him what he stole. And the thief admits that he stole. Now, the Tava Bala Bekodna is a galim. The owner of the deposit, he goes to claim from the thief. But Kafar, to him he denies it. And he brings witnesses that testify that he stole it. So it comes out like this. If the guardian, when he swore, when he made the claim that it was stolen, he was telling the truth, meaning, well, obviously we know that it ended up being stolen, but everything he said, every detail, let's say he claimed it was stolen by force and it was turned up by force, everything he said was true, then in this case, since the first one that claimed from him was the shomer, and to him he admitted, even though subsequently he denied it to the owner, nifter haganav min hakefil, so although generally he should be chayv, because the owner of the depositor, who is really it is, he denied it to him and he brought witnesses, and that generally liability of kefil. No, the thief is exempt from kefil by da'as la'shomer, because the fact that he already admitted to the shomer, which admission exempts you from the liability of kefil. And the reason this is because since the shomer is a trustworthy person, as we see everything he said was exact, so he's believed by the owners continuing on in his guardianship, and he retains the rights of the watching the deposit. So therefore, if the shomer finds the thief and he claims of him, it's as if the owner claims of him, and therefore admitting to the thief, the admission of the thief to the shomer is an admission, which exempts him from kefil. But vim b'shekin yesh, but it turns out that the guardian actually had lied in his oath, then eimetzin hakefil min haganav, so you cannot extract the kefil from the thief. Why? Because that's actually a question in the Gemara. Do we say that, okay, now the owner doesn't trust the shomer anymore because he realizes he was deviated from the truth, and therefore the admission of the thief in front of the shomer was not an admission that he's chayav kefil, or not? So because of that stuff, you cannot take it away from the ganav, but v'mtavsa b'alma kefil, but the owners do grab the kefil, eimetzin miyadam, we don't take it away from them because it is it left in doubt. Let's say the owner claims what's owed to him, his deposit, from the guardian, Bashilim. Even though he's exempt from paying because it was stolen from him, he pays up, he says, look, I don't have it anymore. He pays back the owner of the object. And then they subsequently realize that it was really stolen from him, they recognize who the thief is. And the owner, who has already paid back from the shomer, they claim from the guy, hey, you stole it from the guy who was watching for me. And the thief admits, yeah, you're right, I did steal it. Then achach tva hashemer v'chafer bayim. And then, after the owner had already tried to claim from the ganav, the guardian now goes and he claims to him and says, "What are you doing? You're the one who stole from me." But Kafa by Intemi denies it. Uvo Edim Shaganav, and then witnesses come and say that no, he did steal it. Eimetzi na kevum alaganav. You cannot take out the kevum from the thief, because this is also a question that the Gemara doesn't resolve, similar in the inverse of the previous one. Do we say, look, the owners already received their monies of what the deposit was, and therefore they're out of the equation. Therefore, the admission of the ganav in front of them is not considered ad hoida, and therefore he's going to be chayv and kevel by denying it to the shomer, who he's the owner of that monies now, because he already paid up the deposit to the owner. Or do you say that, no, it's preferable for the shomer that the owners will put in the effort to try to reveal the thief, and therefore the admission of the thief in front of the owner is a hoida, and therefore would exempt it from the subsequent payment of the kevel. So therefore, you cannot take it away from the ganav. But if the shomer does grab the kevel from the ganav, you don't take it away from him again because it's a suffix. Something applies with regard to the payments of four or five, not just for the kevel. If the thief slaughters or sells, it's the same halacha. It continues on the back of this question regarding the kevel. Halacha test. Someone claims regarding a deposit from a minor, a 10-year-old boy gives him something to watch, and he claims it was stolen. Even though he gave it to him when he was a minor, but it's but this is 5 years later, already 15, and he claims he wants his deposit back. And Ben Nishman swears to the effect of saying, "What do you want from me? It was stolen from me." But the witnesses come along and say, "That's not true. He was lying. It's by him." Still, he's going to be exempt from the kefil. The reason is Shnemek says in the pasuk, "Hitin ish." If a man's going to give a deposit to his friend, and the person's going to swear falsely, etc., etc., the ain't seen as cotton clumps. It has to be if a man gives. But the giving of a child, which is when he gave it the deposit, he was a child. Therefore, it's not going to make it into this halacha. Because you need to have that the giving and the claiming both have to be equal, that it's done by an adult, not here in this case where it was given by a minor, even though the claiming was when he was already adult. Halacha continues regarding the format of returning what was stolen, which retort talking about a shomer regarding being stolen or claiming that it was stolen. So shomer shagadim mirshusa. If there's a guardian that something was stolen from his property, could go in, for example, shagadim of tole me'eder shehufkadetz, meaning this shomer himself, as we're saying, we're going 20 times gone, he himself stole from his own property. What does it mean? Shagadim tole me'eder shehufkadetz, he stole from a flock, a lamb from a flock that was deposited by him. So he was watching with someone else their flock, and he steals one of the sheep. Or let's say there was a purse that was deposited by him, and he steals a coin from it. So im yeshalav edim, if there's witnesses that see that he stole, chayv kevel, he's chayv kevel like any ganav. Now even if he put back the seller to the purse and he put back the lamb to the flock, it is chayv b'chuyusim. Okay, so obviously he doesn't have the stolen object anymore, but he's still gonna be liable for responsibility even if something an oinus happens. At shidi habalim, until he notifies the owner. Why? Should he call the shmidasa because his guardianship had ended the moment he stole it? And it's as if he didn't return anything because he didn't give it back to the owner, and he stopped being a shomer to just put it back into his own property because he's not the shomer anymore. Actually, until he lets the owner know, then when he gives it, puts it back into his flock, it's like as if he gave it back to the owner. Aval but hagoyim sell him a kis chaverv. Let's say this is only from his own property. Let's say someone steals a seller from someone else's purse, or a klima beisa, or a vessel for someone's house. The hechzer dava ganav beisa mekayim, and then he brings the stolen object back from his house to the original place from that person's house. Im yadu haba'olim b'gnevasik, if the owners knew that something was stolen from them, but lo yadu b'chazirasa, they don't know that it was returned. So adayin haganav chay b'chizah, then the thief is still going to be responsible for insuring it, because as long as the owner doesn't know that it was returned, it's not considered returned. Until he counts his monies. By counting it, he's going to realize, obviously, it was put back. Then it's okay. Then he's not responsible anymore, because then it's already back to its original place. And you don't have to notify them, because now it's already back. Now, halacha yiralev, mana, if let's say the owner of the purse counts as kisoy, his purse, umitzoy shalom, and he finds the, and this is really the end of the previous halacha, and he finds the count is complete, well, then pata, then the thief is going to be exempt, like we said, because now he knows. Let's say the owner didn't know that it was stolen and doesn't know that it was returned. So then he doesn't even need to count for the shemer to be exempt, for the ganav to be exempt. Once he puts it back to his place, he's exempt from his responsibility because it's in his property. Again, when he himself, with the shemer that he stole himself from his own property, what he's watching, that wouldn't be enough because he's not really putting him back. He's putting it back, so that's okay. He doesn't have to notify him. Now, when we say that if someone steals without the owner's awareness and he puts it back, he's going to be exempt, and you don't even have to have the owner accounting, is specifically it's something that's not a living creature, like a coin. But in contrast, if someone steals a lamb from his friend's flock, from his property, the owners know that it was stolen. And if he puts it back to the flock without the owner's awareness, and it dies or gets stolen, so like we said, even the owner, he's going to be responsible for insuring it because it wasn't considered returned yet. The owner doesn't know about it. Now, but let's say he counted his flock, it's complete. Okay, then part is an exempt. But this case is different than the case of the seller. This next part. Let's say the owner didn't know that it was stolen and doesn't know it was returned. And even if he counts, you see him counting his sheep, and it's exactly the original count as it was. In contrast to the seller, he's, the thief is going to be responsible for ensuring whatever happens to the sheep until he notifies the owner that he stole and then he returned it. Why? What's the difference? It's already back to what it was. That he'll have to specially protect this lamb that was stolen, because this thief has already taught this lamb that there's another way out of the norm of the path of the rest of the sheep in this flock, because he took it out and he did whatever he did with it, and the lamb is already straying in different ways, and therefore the owner has to know about this to especially protect him. And if he didn't let him know, the achrayus of this responsibility is going to be on the thief until he actually notifies him.